It's Wednesday, August 30th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show presented by Toyota. It is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, it's been a minute, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well, other than having to pour one out for my guy Trey Lance. Very sad. I had to move the art into the garage. It's a sad day over here at the household. But Producer Colin gets to watch my guy Trey. But man, if there's ever a player I'm actually going to still root for after leaving my team, my laundry, it is Trey. But other than that, excited for this football season. It's fantasy draft season, big time here over these next couple weeks.
Yes, it's fantasy draft season. And if this show is for you, honestly, regardless of whether you've been paying attention to football all off season or if you haven't, this show is for you, because what Dalton and I are going to do here, we're going to waste no time. We're going to get right into it. Again, last week of August means your biggest fantasy drafts are approaching. So this week is cram week, and this is the show to cram for like your final exams of your fantasy drafts. We're going to attempt to cram in all of the most important information you need to know heading into your drafts for each team. Essentially, Dalton and I are going to recap the main offseason headline for each NFL team. Look, if you have a life and you're just now dialing back into fantasy football, this show is for you. But also, if you've been listening to this podcast all offseason, don't turn it off. This show is going to work for you too, because Dalton and I are basically going to be giving kind of like, this is like our final exam, right? Our final sort of convicted decision on each of these teams and these big storylines. It's going to be a combination of coaching changes, veteran player movement, and rookies that you absolutely need to know. So Dalton, this is going to be a big show. We got a lot to get into.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
Yes, let's waste no more time. Producer Colin was kind enough to group all of these teams into three buckets. I mean, this is how you know Colin's worked with me long enough that he's like, yes, Harmon likes things in tiers and buckets and groupings, because that's how his stupid little pea brain works. So we're going to start with these first group of teams, and we're going to just call these the old reliables. These are teams that we think will be good again and will likely produce big time fantasy ecosystems. We start with the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champions. Really, the thing that you need to know about this team, not a lot has changed. There's the Chris Jones holdout that is kind of hanging over this team that I do think is a big deal, but it's not really a fantasy storyline. The one thing I would say, Dalton, here is we're back to sort of trying to decode the wide receiver room. Sky Moore has been getting some pop. Kadarius Toney is banged up. He missed the entire training camp. He's still very questionable for week one. So we know who Travis Kelce is. We know who Patrick Mahomes is. We kind of sort of know what's going on in the backfield. But Dalton, we're still out here trying to decode this wide receiver room.
Yeah, it looks like Toney may be able to be ready for the start of this season. Rashi Rice, the rookie, had three or four drops the last game. I want to like Rice. I want to like Justin Ross. But the fact is, they enter the season sixth and seventh on the wide receiver depth chart. Patrick Mahomes threw for more than 5,000 yards last year. Their highest fantasy receiver was Juju, who was 39th, in points per game. So Sky Moore has got the highest floor by far. But I think, unfortunately, it's going to be another frustrating rotation for fantasy managers among the wide receivers. And quickly, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is emerging as a super, super deep fantasy sleeper for me.
Yeah, I agree with you about CEH. I've been drafting a lot of Sky Moore. I have him ranked ahead of consensus. And I've had him ranked ahead of consensus basically all offseason. He's started to get a little bit more steam here. And you mentioned Juju. I think like finishing in the mid-30s at wide receiver is very likely for Sky Moore, which makes him an ADP beater. But he certainly isn't a guy that, you know, as much as I like him as a player, I think he'd be hard pressed to be like a top 12 wide receiver as long as Travis Kelce is producing at hit the absolute peak of his powers. So I'm with you sort of on this wide receiver room. There's a lot of intriguing names here. Like, honestly, if you're a Justin Ross bro, like Justin Ross making this roster is a huge W. We still have Justin Watson, who's going to be in the role likely that he had last year. That's sort of the guy that if you like Rashi Rice, if you like Justin Ross, you want to see them take over Justin Watson's role from last year, because I think MVS is going to remain in the same position he had last year as well.
Yep, there's a lot of options there. And then Travis Kelce, I personally will not take a 34-year-old in the top 10 picks, but he proved me wrong last year and he'll probably do it again.
Yeah, I've sprinkled him in just a little bit, but typically like receivers and running backs where he goes in the first round. Next team up here, big AFC rival for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the Buffalo Bills. The thing you need to know about this team is that there are some new risers, basically, alongside Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis returns to reprise his role as the number two outside receiver, but rookie tight end Dalton Kincaid joins the team and has been getting a lot of steam as their big slot receiver in fantasy football. And James Cook, second year running back, he's another guy that's gotten really steamed up draft boards lately. And I'm in on James Cook. And like, I've got like 1.5 feet in on Dalton Kincaid. Where are you at with these two big risers here in the Buffalo Bills offense?
I am sold on James Cook, buying the hype. Yes, Damian Harris is going to take away some goal line scores there, but Damian Harris also struggles to stay healthy. Cook has been the featured back in Buffalo throughout the preseason. He'll get some targets. Maybe not the top 10 upside given Josh Allen, and he doesn't throw and he'll take some goal line, but I'm treating him as a top 20 fantasy back. Dalton Kincaid, it's tough. The rookie tight end's history is not great, but if he's just treated as a true slot guy, he could be an immediate top 12 fantasy tight end. And I'm back in on my guy, Gabe Davis, who goes, you know, 3, 4, 5 rounds later than last year, but he's in the same exact position. I mean, they added no one there. He played through that high ankle sprain. Don't get me wrong. I concede, capitulate. You were right about Gabe Davis's route running, but you got to like his position he's in now at a much lower ADP. Because it looks like Kincaid really is the slot guy there, because it sounds like Deonte Hardy might have beaten out Shakir and Sherfield. But to me, it's just going to be all Gabe Davis, Diggs, with a sprinkling of Cook and the rookie tight end.
Dalton, I am also in on drafting Gabe Davis this year because I think the market has overcorrected a little bit where, look, you know, my questions about Gabe Davis's route running are still legit, but mostly as like a full field route runner, where he's very good is winning on those vertical routes. And you're right that they didn't add anybody that can compete at that X receiver slash flanker, you know, sometimes because Diggs can play X, but that like field stretching vertical outside receiver, nobody was added there. Hardy's going to probably be a speed slot guy, but not get a ton of looks because Kincaid's the probably the true slot receiver here. James Cook will be involved in the backfield. So yeah, just there's no one really to threaten Gabe's role. And even if he just does what he did last year, he's like a perfectly reasonable pick at ADP. It's just we don't have to steam him up like we did last year.
A quick question for you. Me, guilty for sure. So Gabe has an absurd yards per route run in two wide receiver sets, like 150 career routes small, but like 3.3 yards. Now, does that count when Kincaid comes in the slot? I mean, there's two tight ends out there. You know what I mean? Is that like just plain semantics there? Or is that effectively going to help where Gabe thrives?
It's a good question, because I believe like two tight ends is just two nominal tight ends on the field, right? Like the guys that have TE next to their name. The thing I am interested in is like with this Kincaid stuff is, I've talked about this example with the Eagles when they added Dallas Goedert and along with Zach Ertz, that offense ended up not being very good, because it's just, if you have two tight ends as opposed to like an explosive receiver on the field, it cannot end up being good, especially for a guy in Gabe who we kind of sort of have questions about as a true number two receiver anyways. I think that's a good question, because typically we see yards per route run boosted in two receiver sets anyways, because there's really just two guys we want to see get the ball here in those two wide receivers. But I think Kincaid here the Bills themselves have been calling it 11.5 personnel, like joking about the Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox packages. So I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure now where I stand on that because it's a little bit of a blurred line.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this offense. It'll be exciting. They'll put up a bunch of points. And go draft James Cook. I do think he's good. He's seen one of the most significant ADP risers throughout the summer, and rightfully so.
Yeah, he's a clear-cut running back too, to me now at this point. Next team up here, sticking in the AFC, Cincinnati Bengals. There's not a ton in terms of offseason headlines here. I mean, Samaje Perine moves on. Joe Mixon sort of stands alone in the backfield. That's at least something to know. And obviously, we are dealing with a Joe Burrow calf injury, although the team continues to say that this is not really a big deal. So I don't know. What's kind of your read on the Bengals at this point?
My AFC preview column coming out. I have Burrow to win MVP, Ja'Marr Chase to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I have the Bengals to win the AFC. I think they have the right defensive coordinator, and this is the year, the final year, they have all the pieces on offense. They're not going to be able to afford them much longer. I feel like this is the year for the Bengals, so I'm pretty in here. If Mixon can stay healthy, he's in the right position as well. But yeah, I'm all in on Burrow and Chase.
Yeah, for the folks who haven't been listening to the podcast, Dalton is all in on Ja'Marr Chase, is like ranking him as a top receiver this year, winning offensive player of the year. I love that call. That's a good bet. I think Chase is ready for a monster year. There is, I think, officially, I think it's kind of come especially in fantasy circles, I think people are really dialed in on this, that there is a gap between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins from a talent perspective and from a usage perspective. Like, that's been an open question for a while, but I think that has been a rather significant move this offseason that reflected in the ADP. Let's move to the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFC Super Bowl team. The big one here is that Miles Sanders is out. DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny joined Kenny Gainwell to form a confusing committee. Dalton, and I do think it still remains a confusing committee. You know, I'm writing up a piece right now. I was supposed to file before the podcast and I didn't. Basically, the guys I'm afraid I'm wrong about this year. I put DeAndre Swift on the list because I haven't been, even though I have him ranked as the top player in this backfield, I have not been drafting him very often because I think this will be a confusing committee. The recent report from Bo Wolf of The Athletic saying like they want DeAndre Swift to be the guy to, and he thinks he will lead the team in carries to start the season, but that then Kenny Gainwell will end up playing more. And I've heard Rashad Penny be listed as a guy that might make the roster, might lead the team in carries, but also might not make the roster at certain points in training camp. I don't know, man. I think this is the headline to know for the Philadelphia Eagles because we know who the passing game guys are, but how do we make sense of this running back room?
Yeah, I pumped my brakes on the Rashad Penny hype after looking into it more. He suffered this deltoid injury to his ankle fracture also last year that may have just been more serious than I first let on. I don't know if that's contributed to his lack of hype with his new team, but either way, the news has been a little bit more positive for Swift. I think Penny's going to make the roster. He still has a ton of upside if he's healthy running behind that offensive line. He's just going to, I hate to fall on the crutch best ball, but he's going to be one of those spike week players. You know, you're not going to know when it happens, but he's just going to post these two or three top five running back numbers this year behind that offensive line. But the rest of the season is going to be frustrating in a rotation in a committee. Briefly, I want your opinion on DeVonta Smith, because on one hand, he has these splits where he really benefited when Dallas Goedert was off the field last year. But on the other hand, after the team's like week seven bye last year, he out targeted AJ Brown. He's also small. He suffered that injury in the Super Bowl, but he looks like, maybe you extrapolate those numbers, he looks like he could be an absolute monster. My question is, Jalen Waddle or DeVonta Smith, middle of second round in a PPR, who you taking?
I think DeVonta Smith's a better player, but I do have Jalen Waddle ranked two spots higher in fantasy. So I would go with Jalen Waddle from a fantasy perspective. I think all the split stuff, like, it's like splits happen. Adam Harstad has said that to me many times from Football Guys over the years. Like, splits happen. It is what it is. Of that stuff can be noisy. But what we know, just because what we know is, DeVonta Smith is very, very good at football. And I think he is, when we're talking about these guys, the number two receivers across from like big time alphas, you know, we're talking Jalen Waddle, we're talking T. Higgins, we're talking DeVonta Smith, all those guys going in the second round. The best football player to me of those is DeVonta Smith. But I do have Jalen Waddle ranked just a couple spots ahead of him because I think from a target concentration standpoint, the Miami Dolphins are even more concentrated than the Eagles, who are already highly concentrated as well.
I agree with you. I've been taking Waddle, but you have your Tua. And I mean, Tua is more of a concern than Hurts, obviously, too, there. But I've been taking Waddle.
We'll get to Tua.
All right. Briefly, just want to say before we move on, Hurts ranked 32nd in the NFL last year in dropbacks per game in the second half last year. Man, there's going to be regression and the Eagles are going to be throwing the football more this year.
If I'm like sketched out by the receivers on the board in the late second round, if I'm sketched out, and I'm almost always sketched out by the running backs that are left in the late second round, I'm totally fine taking Jalen Hurts. And, you know, you can call me whatever boomer ball name you want to with that from a quarterback standpoint. I love Jalen Hurts this year. And he was already very good last year. All right, let's move on to San Francisco 49ers. What you need to know here is they're 110% in on Brock Purdy. As Dalton mentioned, they traded Trey Lance last week. We talked about that on the podcast with Scott and all the kind of fallout from that. But look, it's just been evident all offseason that as they're telling anybody that they'll listen, that they're all in on Purdy. As a 49ers fan, how comfortable does that make you when projecting these players from a fantasy standpoint?
Yeah, I don't love the fact that he's still on a pitch count right now. Assuming his elbow is healthy and reportedly his miles per hour, he's throwing the ball harder. I'm cool with Purdy, man. I mean, he obviously Shanahan was sold. The guy didn't lose a game last year. He became a starter other than, you know, getting hurt immediately. Led the NFL in touchdown passes. Obviously, the system has really benefited him, but Shanahan loves him. He even provides an improvisation ability that Jimmy G never did. Mm-hmm. Here's a crazy stat that I just came across. There's only three quarterbacks to post an adjusted net yards per attempt in their 18-year-old season. And you know, those three are Deshaun Watson, Caleb Williams, and Brock Purdy. I mean, he was thought of to be a high draft pick, type prospect back in the day. And now he's in the best system with all these receivers. So he, to me, has been the most egregious ADP. I know no one cares about a guy who doesn't have ultimate, like, top five fantasy upside because he doesn't run. But if you're in super flex or best ball, he's been going like quarterback 25. I mean, I have him ranked top 15, and I think that's conservative. He'll be top 12 fantasy guy if he stays healthy. He can even run. His shuttle speed or whatever is the same as Lamar Jackson. He ran in a 6-yard score the last preseason game. So I think a sneaky fantasy asset. As a 49er fan, I don't know what they're doing with the depth here. I mean, they just lost a title game because of it. But Shanahan obviously preferred Darnold, even Brandon Allen. But Niners just going to come down to injuries, and a lot of their key skill position guys are very, very injury prone. I love Brandon Ayuk, but I know I'm preaching to the choir there.
Yep, I think the fragility of the skill position players is something to raise an eye at. You know, Derek Klassen's doing great work for reception perception this offseason, charting quarterbacks. And his Brock Purdy profile, I know it like had a lot of people raise their eyebrows. But when I read it, I'm like, yeah, including you. He's somewhere between, I agree with you. I think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo 100%. Like, I think in a best case scenario, he's probably Kirk Cousins, which I know sounds like, oh my God, how could you say that? But I like Kirk Cousins, and like, Kirk Cousins is an above average starting quarterback. And I think if the last pick in the draft becomes Kirk Cousins, it's a huge win for the 49ers. Where he excels, throwing over the intermediate middle, throwing dig routes, like, that's what this offense wants. And I think he could be a perfectly fine distributor for it. So I'm okay with it all happening.
Yeah, Klassen criticizes his ability against the blitz and his short passing, and that's what Shanahan usually praises. So it's all confusing with the Shanahan world and all of this. One thing I wanted to say about Trey Lance is that it's a little bit of a chicken and an egg thing. People are being like, a lot of the media is like, the Niners are so lucky they got Brock Purdy, or it'd be the biggest bust of all time. When it's kind of like Trey Lance looks like an even bigger bust because Brock Purdy exists and Shanahan has moved on. If Purdy didn't exist, things would be a little bit different as far as Trey Lance is viewed now. And the dude still has 5 starts. If you look at the amount of starts he has compared to other busts like Jamarcus Russell, it's not even close yet. So the book is yet to be written on my guy, Trey.
Yeah, and I think the book is still yet to be written on Brock Purdy. And, you know, again, I said it with Scott, like, you're right. This all looks okay if Brock Purdy works out. But if he doesn't, I think then we might 2x the criticism on the Trey Lance thing. So speaking of Trey Lance, let's move to the Dallas Cowboys here. His new team. We're not going to talk about Trey Lance in this section. The two things I think you need to know is, one, Mike McCarthy takes over play calling duties from an ousted Kellen Moore. They also trade for Brandon Cooks. But the big thing here from a fantasy angle, Ezekiel Elliott is gone. You know, and Tony Pollard is the clear-cut RB1 on this team. Rico Dowd and, you know, Deuce Vaughn are the guys behind him on the depth chart. I mean, I know you are very excited about Tony Pollard, Dalton. So I think we can use this section here. And I have him ranked ahead of guys, you know, that go higher than him in the draft, in fantasy draft. So I think we can use this section here to sort of just, if you've been on the beach all summer, you know, crushing land sharks, and you're about to do your fantasy draft, and you see Dalton Del Don's ranking of Tony Pollard, you're like, wait a second, this guy has never been the workhorse. So I don't know, sell the people on Tony Pollard here.
I mean, he was the RB8 last year, despite seeing fewer than 50% of the snaps in 8 games. I mean, he totaled just 230 touches. And now Ezekiel Elliott are gone. You go under the hood, you look at his nerd stats, targets per route run, and all that stuff. I mean, it's just, it points to the moon type season. He should get goal line work. They play indoors. Graham Barfield, by the way, has me convinced that McCarthy might actually make them more pass heavy based on his last play calling. So I think
I agree.
It's unclear whether that's going to work, but either way, Pollard is, like, again, you know, top 10 back last year, splitting work. And the Dallas Cowboys had the running backs combined for 524 touches last year. So that's basically 300 touches more than Pollard saw last year. We don't even know who their backup is. I mean, Rico Dowdle. I mean, there's really not a guy built there to get significant touches. I mean, Pollard to the moon. He's my number 2 fantasy back. And you can still get him in the second round. When you could get him in round 3, that was just a smash. But now if you can still get him in the middle of round 2, to me, that's the easiest pick of the year.
Yep. I'm with you on being excited about Tony Pollard. And I agree. Like, I know Mike McCarthy said all the stuff at the combine that had people up in arms about, oh, we need to run the ball, and Kellen just wanted to light up a scoreboard. And Mike has said this stuff plenty of times over the years and then run out really pass heavy receiver friendly offenses. I think that's what this offense is going to be this year. And they do have a great defense. That's absolutely true. That can also be good for Tony Pollard being in run heavy game scripts after gaining a lead via the pass. So I think either way, like, it's a win-win for Tony Pollard, who, I'm with you, in the second round is one of the easiest. Like, if Nick Chubb doesn't make it to the second round, I like Nick Chubb a little bit better than Tony Pollard, but it's like those two guys being second round picks, it's just so awesome, I think, if you can gain a running back there.
And Dak Prescott's got kind of come around on, just because everyone's a little bit more down on him and the thought of the run heavier with that quote you said, and Prescott's, you know, rushing has been down a bit. But man, he plays indoors, no Zeke, and now he has CeeDee Lamb developed into an alpha last year, added Brandon Cooks. Michael Gallup reportedly looks much healthier this second year removed. I mean, younger legs in Ferguson. I mean, Dak Prescott, what if he does run in the 6 touchdowns again like he used to at clockwork? So good offensive line. Again, plays indoors. No Zeke Elliott taking all those goal line scores. Dak is probably going to sneak in to be another top 10 fantasy QB season.
Love it. Totally agree there. All right, let's move to the next group of teams, the hyped up teams. Everyone kind of thinks these teams might be able to make the leap this year. Let's break them down. First of all, New York Jets, they trade for Aaron Rodgers. They bring in a bunch of his buddies, and they also bring in Dalvin Cook. So I think you and I have been pretty excited and like looking at the upside of this whole New York Jets situation with Aaron Rodgers. Where should people stand from a fantasy angle on the effect that Aaron Rodgers has here? And if you want to talk on the backfield, which I know you have feelings on, you can do that as well.
Yeah, this team led the league in passing yards per game last year when it wasn't Zach Wilson. They had the fewest yards per play against on defense, despite that quarterback situation. So Super Bowl upside here with Aaron Rodgers, who still led the league in hero throws last year. Looks great in Hard Knocks. Garrett Wilson, I have as a borderline top 5 fantasy wide receiver. I think he's Rodgers' new Devonta Adams, and Breece Hall to the moon. Dalvin Cook, I'm not as worried about as some. It may require some patience. We keep talking about he led all running backs in air yards last year. He was a rookie and only played 6.5 games. Explosive run rate. Kid is special. I think he's going to be the number one fantasy pick off many boards next year, the way he finishes this season. People are really, maybe not number one overall pick, he'll be the number one back. I'll say that. Yeah, if you look at that, that remains more wide open. But I think Breece Hall is going to be on the number one fantasy back on a lot of boards next year.
Unfortunately, I think if you're looking for the other side of the like how this Dalvin Cook Breece Hall split might have, you might have to go back a couple podcasts and listen to Scott talking about it, because he's a little bit more skeptical about Breece Hall working out than Dalton and I are, because I'm sort of with Dalton on this one, where if you just look at how Breece Hall played last year, and I certainly think that Dalvin Cook is going to start the year off as the lead back, but I think the tide will shift a little bit, so it requires patience. But yes, I think Breece Hall kind of fits in as an Aaron Jones type of slashing receiver back with Aaron Rodgers here. I think he can play in that role, and even then, even if he's not fully healthy as a runner, I think he can be very effective in that role. And yeah, I mean, Garrett Wilson, we've talked about it a ton on the pod. Don't be afraid to take him aggressively in the second round. You know, I just mentioned to Scott on a couple episodes ago, like, I just end up never getting Garrett Wilson. I want to get. And so in our last staff mock draft, I was like, all right, Stephon Diggs is my end of first round pick, and Garrett Wilson is my top pick in the second round. And look, I know that seems aggressive, but Garrett Wilson's going to have that type of year with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, special season coming for Garrett Wilson. Couple health things just to note. I got Edwin Porras points out that Dalvin Cook still remains possible, that shoulder, even after the surgery. And of course, my guy Breece Hall, the knee soreness was there. He did have a little meniscus damage. It's not a sure thing, but so health and offensive line could really hurt what we're trying there on the Jets. But man, Breece Hall just looks like a special talent. And have you seen, I feel like if he had gone off the PUP like a week earlier, maybe Cook wouldn't have been there, because Rodgers probably, he hadn't seen Hall in person, but boy, afterward, the quotes have been gushing regarding Hall.
Yeah, Rodgers has been very happy with almost all of his new teammates, which is nice to see. Baltimore Ravens, next team up here. Todd Monken takes over as the offensive coordinator for Greg Roman, who was let go this offseason. I can't stress to people enough how important this is. You have to no longer think about the Baltimore Ravens as this run heavy, high school passing game design stuff that we saw with Greg Roman in the Lamar Jackson years. This is going to be a new offense with Todd Monken. The receiver talent, it's night and day, right? DeMarcus Robinson was this team's top outside receiver for like a huge chunk of last year. And now, like, Nelson Aguilar, who's, you know, a viable NFL receiver. It might be like their receiver four. They have Rashad Bateman back. Odell Beckham's here. Zay Flowers is here. Dalton, I just can't stress enough, and I think this is the most important thing when people listen to this podcast, like, this is a new Ravens offense, and we just don't think about the Greg Roman years at this point at all anymore.
In the last four full seasons of starting quarterback, Lamar Jackson ranked 32nd in the NFL in no huddle plays among QBs. Come on, man. If he can stay healthy, this will be another MVP type season from him. Love Rashad Bateman. I know you do as well. Super high on Zay Flowers. I'm just so in on J.K. Dobbins this year. I think he's healthy. Yes, the targets won't be there among the other backs, but I have him as a slam dunk top 15 fantasy back entering the year with upside for more. Going to score a ton of touchdowns. Finally healthy on that offense that everyone loves and no backup to speak of behind on Gus Edwards. Come on. Give me all the J.K. Dobbins and even a sprinkling of Bateman too.
Yeah. I want you to take one Ravens receiver in every single one of your fantasy drafts. Just take your shots, because I love all three of these guys in different levels. Like Bateman, I think, was a better prospect than Zay Flowers, and I think he's shown really well in the NFL. But I really like Zay Flowers as a prospect and a rookie that I think can make an instant impact and be super dynamic. And even Odell Beckham, last time we saw him play with the Rams and with the Browns, when you isolate him from Baker Mayfield, was a really good football player. I realize there's obviously unknowns there. We haven't seen him in so long, but just take your shots on these Ravens receivers because of this offensive change and because most people aren't accounting for this offensive change. There are discounts available and upside available for these guys. So it's very important to view the Ravens as what they are now and not what the, even if it's still fair to ask questions about Lamar and can he execute this type of offense? Just the fact that we're having a structural change discussion is super important. Speaking of which, Calvin Ridley added to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You probably haven't missed this one because there's been so much buzz about Calvin Ridley from training camp, but Dalton, ADP has finally gotten to the point where Ridley is just so far ahead of these other pass catchers. Preseason usage wise, he was so far ahead of these other pass catchers. Dwayne McFarland's talked about it from an air yard and a target share perspective. He's been over 30% team high in both of those on the drives with Trevor Lawrence. So Calvin Ridley, man, you know, wide receiver 16 now in consensus ADP. I actually still have him higher than that as the wide receiver 13. So I'm all in on Calvin Ridley. Where are you?
Oh, totally agree. He's my wide receiver 14, but I've been willing to take him in the second round in PPR drafts. I got him at 50-1 in July to lead the NFL in receiving yards. Remains my favorite long shot bet of the year. So yes, I'm totally, totally in on Ridley. And it must be noted that Christian Kirk has only been playing in three wide receiver sets in the preseason, and yep. Zay Jones has been the two wide receiver guy. I think that Kirk is still going to get his and he'll be fine, but I bumped him down, you know, half a dozen spots because of that. And Travis Etienne is like Dobbins for me, only more. I absolutely love him. I think the Tank Bigsby hype is out of control. Etienne ran ran for a mere 45 more touchdowns during his college career than Tank Bigsby. So I love Etienne. I mean, here's your new Jamal Charles. He's going to be a top five fantasy back this year. Let's go. 2,000 yards rushing within reach. Draft Etienne.
Like it. I like that optimism for Travis Etienne. And I agree with you. I moved guys that I think have just bigger breakout potential, like George Pickens and Jahan Dotson, ahead of Christian Kirk in the ranks, I think you can hit a bigger home run with those guys. The Detroit Lions, definitely hoping to hit a home run in the season because they're opening the damn season against the Chiefs on Thursday night. They fully remake their backfield after a productive season from Jamal Williams. They bring in David Montgomery as a free agent. They add Jahmyr Gibbs in the NFL draft. Austin Ekeler, if you've been listening to Eckler's Edge, we're on eyebrow gate watch with him at this point because we had a bold prediction sent in from a listener that both of these guys are going to be top 15 in half PPR leagues. And I got to say, Dalton, I initially was like, I don't know about that. But then I look at the 2017 Saints. I talked about this on the last episode. I'm like, you know what? If there was ever a team to be like an example, that's it. So this remade backfield, where should people target these guys in fantasy drafts here over the next couple of days?
I've been comfortable grabbing Gibbs in the middle of the third round of PPR drafts. He has major draft capital, top 12 pick. I mean, he commanded targets as an 18-year-old. This is an offense that scored an NFL high 33-plus points at home last season, lost a ton of targets. It's going to be Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown just racking them up each weekly. So I will take Gibbs, middle of third round. I will take Amon-Ra St. Brown, by the way, as high as sixth overall in full PPR. I hate that spot there after the top five. I hate it. But if I'm not going Kelsey, and if I'm not going Kelsey, then I turn to St. Brown in full PPR. That's where I'm sitting there. Love Gibbs and St. Brown. And of course, Montgomery has, he could just fall into double digit touchdowns, replacing that role of Jamal Williams. There'll be some regression there. The touchdowns will be distributed differently. But yeah, you got to like the setup for Montgomery. And of course, Sam Laporta, but we don't want to step on Andy Barron's toes too much there, but he looks like he could be the number two pass catcher. Is Marvin Jones a deeper sleeper here? That he seems like he's just completely forgotten even in 20 round drafts. But could he be viable the first quarter of the season?
I think it's Josh Reynolds, dude. Josh Reynolds is like a Jared Goff favorite, a staff favorite. He's been productive with this team the last couple of years. So yeah, if you're like, and they start the year, you know, in very, very like won a high scoring game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Then they get to see, they think they get the Seahawks and Falcons, maybe not in that order, but I know it's their two games after that. Those could be pretty good defensive matchups as well. A potentially high scoring game against Seattle. If you need, for whatever reason, you need to like stream receivers to start the year, I think Josh Reynolds is probably the top outside guy on this depth chart with Jameson Williams in just like the worst bad vibes territory and suspended for the first 6 weeks. But just circling back on the backfield, number one, David Montgomery, if anything ever happened to Jahmyr Gibbs, if he got hurt, I think David Montgomery could have like running back one upside in this offense. He could do what Jamal Williams did last year, but lose a couple touchdowns and gain a little bit more receiving work because he's been more of a receiver in the NFL. Jahmyr Gibbs, I want you to just heat check, or maybe I'm going to try to heat check you on Jahmyr Gibbs here. I like Gibbs. There always ends up being somebody like you that likes him more. Am I an idiot for having guys like Kenneth Walker, Alexander Mattison, and Miles Sanders ranked ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs?
In full PPR, I wouldn't call you an idiot.
In half PPR,
that's not crazy. No, that's okay. Certainly not Kenneth Walker. I mean, in half PPR. Who are the other two? Madison. I know you like Madison. Who's the third?
Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I'm out on him, but the other two is not crazy. Sanders is objectively crazy.
Objectively crazy. All right. Maybe we'll get to that when we get to the Carolina Panthers talk. Seattle Seahawks here. Next one up. Speaking of Kenneth Walker, two rookies were added to the mix here that are going to shake up rooms with established fantasy stars. Jaxon Smith-Njigba was added at wide receiver. He's probably going to miss a couple games to start the season, but nevertheless, really good rookie that I know Dalton is very high on. I'm very high on him as a player. And Zach Charbonnet was added in the second round at running back. And, you know, we'll see what kind of role he's going to have behind Kenneth Walker, maybe alongside Kenneth Walker. It's been kind of a hit and miss preseason usage sort of stuff with Zach Charbonnet. So these two rookies being added to the mix here in Seattle, where do we stand on the overall ecosystem in Seattle and just sort of how it's going to impact the workload for Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Kenneth Walker, established guys there?
Yeah, the drafting of Charbonnet is definitely not great news for Walker, who definitely is going to lose some passing down work. But I think the touchdowns will be there in an offense that could be truly explosive if JSN returns sooner rather than later. It's great. It should be good news that he didn't start season on PUP, but it's unclear if he'll be ready for this season. Smith-Njigba averaged 192 yards last time we saw him healthy. I mean, he was dominating target share, sharing the field with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. I mean, he's the next superstar at this position. So I think Geno Smith could just fall into 35 touchdown passes. If the Seahawks finish with the top two seeds, I like Geno as a dark horse, long shot MVP candidate. Really like this offense and Pete Carroll, man. There's just no down years for this franchise. And it's frustrating that JSN fell to 20th to them because they're absolutely loaded as a Niner fan.
Yeah, JSN still goes off the board 90th overall, wide receiver 39. The guys that go behind him, Brandon Cooks, Cortland Sutton, Michael Thomas, even Zay Flowers and Sky Moore, who I really like Quentin Johnston. Yeah, we'll talk about the Chargers later, but I'm taking JSN ahead of those guys. Like I'm gonna go ahead and take that plunge there. So I'm with you on still drafting him at this point. Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, maybe Dalton can heat check me here, because I think what you need to know is that Kenny Pickett may have made the leap this summer. Glowing reports all through training camp. The Steelers offensive has been awesome in the preseason. I've been trying to like not get too excited about the damn Steelers offense because I love all these receiving players. George Pickens is ready to make the leap as a vertical X receiver. Deontay Johnson's one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL. I like Allen Robinson sliding into the big slot role. Even Calvin Austin's nice little role player there has some juice. Jaylen Warren as a space back complimenting Najee Harris. My dude, Pat Freiermuth, a tight end who I can't stop drafting. So, Dalton, Kenny Pickett looks to have made the leap, and I think that he's the guy that's going to be the rising tide that raises all boats here. maybe he does have to rise over his offensive coordinator, but are you going to heat check me at all on this Steelers offense, which I think is the value offense of fantasy this year?
I'm not going to heat check you. I'm going to contribute to the hype. I have the Steelers making the playoffs. I'm buying. I know we have our Matt Canada concerns at offensive coordinator, but they did have the third most yards per drive after their bye last season. Kenny Pickett appears to have really made the leap. I mean, his numbers are fantastic throughout the preseason. I think he has 0% off target percentage, only QB there. And I love George Pickens' hype, but I cannot get behind that flippening with Deontay Johnson, whom I have. I said he's going to finish as a top 10 fantasy receiver this year, if not top 5 in PPR. I think the regression's coming with the touchdowns. I know he was inefficient downfield last year, but they are targeted. That is still gives him a higher ceiling the way they are targeting him at a higher ADOT this preseason. I think the upside's through the roof for Deontay Johnson, and I really, really love him. One of my favorite fantasy picks of the year.
Yeah, same. I've had him ranked ahead of consensus for all offseason. Early in best ball drafts, yeah, Pickens was going ahead of him. There's a pretty decent gap between the two now. Deontay at wide receiver 28, George Pickens at wide receiver 33. And I'm in on George Pickens at that ADP still. I totally like taking him. Again, I think he definitely has some questions to answer from his rookie year, from like a success rate versus zone standpoint, ability to like consistently separate, but very good against press coverage, very good on downfield vertical routes, and obviously a total freak show at the catch point. But yeah, Deontay to me, I think will still lead the team in targets and is just such a good route runner, such a good separator at all three levels. And there has always been downfield ability to unlock with Deontay Johnson. Old man Ben and then rookie year Kenny Pickett wasn't the thing to do it. Mitch Trubisky was not the guy to do it. But second year Kenny Pickett, if he's made this leap, I think isn't going to unlock a lot of players here in this offense.
And I've gone back and forth. Quickly, we have to say Jalen Warren's probably become a problem for Najee Harris. It's certainly a concern.
Yes, absolutely. I moved Damian Pierce ahead of Najee Harris, and like I feel very convicted in that at this point. New York Giants, new names in the pass catcher core. Darren Waller added at tight end. Jalen Hyatt added a little speed dimension. Great pick in the third round in a remade wide receiver room there for this team. They have still a ton of slot guys, right? Wandale Robinson actually is not going to start the year on PUP. Sterling Shepard's kicking around. They have Isaiah Hodgins and Darius Slayton as their outside receivers. So I don't know, man. I think this Giants offense is going to be a lot less conservative than it was last year.
Love Daniel Jones. The guy ran about as much as Josh Allen last season, now has a bunch of upgrades, coached well. Darren Waller, huge. He's really been successful, 12 personnel and throwing to tight end too. So Darren Waller, great fit. If I had bigger guts, I'd rank him number one. Darren Waller, I have him as a top three tight end. Love how he's looking for this season, and Barkley looking healthy. So this team is, it's going to deal with some regression, but they're coached well. And I just love Daniel Jones. That's my takeaway, man. Grab him if you're waiting on the quarterback position. Grab Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson is my favorite strategies to grab those two quarterbacks rounds 9 through 11.
Yep. I said on the show many times, if Daniel Jones is not good this year, my fantasy season might be a little screwed, because if I don't take an elite quarterback early, Daniel Jones is usually the first guy that I've got my eye on, because I think he has top five quarterback upside with the way he runs. And if this offense comes together, and I'm with you, I also have Darren Waller as tight end three. I know there are injury risks, the age risks, but he just isn't such a good position there. All right. Next group of teams here. Who are you? These are teams to keep an eye on. It kind of could go either way this year. Let's start with the Miami Dolphins. I think the thing people need to know here, not a ton of like personnel change, really. They get rid of Mike Gesicki. They bring in Devin Achane in the draft. But, not a ton there that's really gone down from a Dolphins perspective. The thing I think people need to know, Tua has worked all offseason to avoid concussion issues again. That's great. We hope we see him on the field for every single game this year, for the rest of his career, that he can avoid this issue. There's been some clips from preseason of him like clearly avoiding landing on his head, which again is great to see. Dalton, I still have my questions about the offense evolving and taking another step regardless of the Tua injury concerns, but you are all in on Tua and this Dolphins offense.
Yeah, but you, partially because of you, I've taken a slight step back, ranked guys like Daniel Jones ahead of Tua, just because there is a concern that you're really relying on those three players needing to stay healthy for this to work. So that's just my slight concern, but man, Tua just led the world in YPA last year. I think it's an important statistic. Even if he regresses, the touchdown passes are going to be there. Waddle and Hill's stats last year with two on the field are crazy. They projected to score 21 touchdowns together. They caught zero with him off the field, though. So yes, this comes down to health, and they could use an upgrade at running back too. But like the way this team is coached, in a real intriguing defensive roster too with Fangio there. This team has upside if things do go right. But I hear you, a lot has to go right. But this team has a wide range of outcomes.
I think they need to run the ball better and more consistently than they did last year. I actually like taking Jeff Wilson in the late round of fantasy drafts, which is just because I think he's the clear top guy on the depth chart for right now. But yeah, I don't draft a ton of Tua, but I do. I'm totally in on taking Tyreek Hill, and I'm totally into taking Jalen Waddle. I think, though, this offense needs to, the games against the 49ers, the Chargers, and even the Bills a little bit last year, prior to Tua's second concussion that took him out for the entire season. You know, this offense had started to, the defenses had started to punch back on this offense. And I do think we need to see a step from this entire unit, which is absolutely possible. So I don't want to discount that like can't happen.
I'm confused why they didn't bring back.
I don't want to be taken as a.
Well, I'm confused why they didn't bring back Teddy Bridgewater. I know he suffered his own injuries last year and it wasn't great, but isn't that guy, Teddy Covers, always is one of the better backups? And now with Tua there, they're relying on Skylar Thompson and Mike White, who's concussed too. I don't know. To me, that seemed curious.
Yeah, I think just Teddy never quite clicked. And I mean, obviously the injury stuff, but yeah, it's a little, I think Mike White would be an interesting system fit backup too, right? If he has to get in there, cause he has experience with, you know, coaches under the same tree. So that would make, I guess that would be the reason maybe they go that way. LA Chargers. Big question here is, can Kellen Moore unlock Justin Herbert's true ceiling? Dalton, where do we stand on this offense?
Yeah, Herbert's YPA has not really matched his star status, but he's played injured last year. Shaky coaching, no question. I'm super curious what his ADOT looks like now with the new offensive coordinator. But, you know, he still has Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler. There is options underneath. Will Keenan Allen not play the slot as much? I absolutely listened to you loud and clear talk about how you noticed his decline last year in your film watching. I've been waiting to ask you this question. I know it's a silly crutch that you could use this, and people want to use it with Rice's tape in college too, but I'm going to ask you, was he playing injured last year when you were evaluating him? Because I remember Keenan Allen saying, I have this hamstring, it lingered. So is it possible that he looked worse on tape because of that and the targets were still there? Was like the number two fantasy wide or something down the stretch? I mean, he was this crazy target hog. But at the same time, I'm usually with you. This guy's 30 on the wrong side of 30. I'm moving on to the next thing. So I struggle with Keenan Allen there as far as that. And again, based largely on your evaluation of him as the player last year.
Yeah, 100%. Like I think it's totally possible that the injury makes the sample, you know, not truth or like confused, or, you know, it's damaged, right? It's a damaged sample because of the injury. I think that's totally possible, but it is what it is. And that is what he showed last year. And I just think a lot of the times with these older receivers, when you see the decline, just try to get off a year early before a year late totally with this fair. Stuff too. And yeah. Because I've been on the wrong side of getting off a year late, right? There's no doubt about that.
No, and he still costs a premium draft pick. Curious your opinion also on Mike Williams. I see him going super higher in fantasy drafts than I have him. Maybe Sean Siegel in my head saying Quentin Johnston's going to be the better receiver over the second half just stuck with me there. Mike Williams always flashes and he disappoints and he has a chronic back injury. I don't know, man. I cannot get behind Mike Williams' ADP. That one to me sticks out among the most among my wide receiver differences.
Yeah, I'm not really drafting either one of these guys. And I'm okay with Mike. I'm more okay with Mike Williams than I am with Keenan Allen, who, yeah, still costs you a top 20 receiver pick, which I hate to say that because I'm such a Keenan Allen guy. But we talk about, can Kellen Moore unlock Justin Herbert's true ceiling, his ADOT? Like, and I think Keenan Allen has to play in the slot and has to play off the line and has to be an underneath zone coverage beating receiver at this point, which he can do that very, very well still based on what he showed last season and win in tight coverage and things like that. But for him to hit a top 20 ADP, he has to be funneled like 140 targets. And if Keenan Allen's getting 140 targets, this team is not throwing the ball downfield more. Or Eckler's catching 20 passes and he's not catching 20 passes this year. So I'm with you about the Mike Williams stuff too. And Quentin Johnston, yeah, it just has been a dubious preseason for him. You know, Josh Palmer's rested with the three receivers. There's been up and down, very up and some down moments for Quentin Johnston in preseason. I think he can be a back half of the season guy, but he needs that seasoning, right? So this is a tough receiver room to read, man. I feel that way at this point.
Yeah, it'd be another fun offense to watch Austin Ekeler score a million touchdowns with no backup to speak. I guess Joshua Kelly maybe at the last run, but throw one at you. Donald Parham will be a popular waiver wire ad at some point this season.
All right. I mean, you heard it here first. Kellen Moore's usage of tight ends has always been clever and creative in Dallas. So we'll see. Donald Parham, I feel like you guys have been trying to make this happen for like 4 years now.
No, there's some buzzes in this summer. I'm telling you, this is year. It's just a million late round tight end flyers possibilities this year.
Minnesota Vikings, what you need to know here, Jordan Addison, rookie receiver, replaces Adam Thielen as the wide receiver two. And Alexander Mattison, who we brought up earlier, replaces Dalvin Cook as the starting running back. So these two guys stepping into new roles for a Vikings offense that I think was kind of underrated last year. And I think this is a good ecosystem. How are we feeling about these two guys as fantasy draft picks?
I haven't been grabbing Madison much, just kind of haven't seen him do it before in their full workload. I'm more down on this offense. Again, the YPA last year was really the opposite of where I thought it was going to go under O'Connell. I know I'm just more after like James Cook, Damian Pierce, Kenneth Walker. I'm taking those guys over Madison, but reasonable minds can disagree, and I certainly see the upside there because, yeah, Ty Chandler is flashed, but it is clear the Vikings are going to give the keys to Madison. So if he can withstand that workload, I am going to look wrong there. And one other guy that's fading just a little is Hawkinson, who goes so early, and I think that offense is just going to look differently this year. He's going to go back to a target rate more like his Lions days with Jordan Addison there, and kind of an offseason to see how inefficient it was when they centered their offense that way like they did after the trade. Even the EPA per rush really tanked after that Hawkinson trade as well.
Yeah, I think Adam Thielen can be productive in the role he's going to play for the Carolina Panthers, but he was not a productive player in the role he was playing for the Vikings last year. I think Jordan Addison is going to be a productive player in that role. I have him ranked right around where he's going in fantasy drafts, which is wide receiver 37. I think he's a green light pick there for me as your third receiver that may even give you wide receiver two numbers if this offense hits. And Alexander Mattison, I do have ranked a couple spots ahead of his running back 20 and 56th overall ADP. I'm perfectly fine with him if he's my running back too. Those two guys you said, Pierce and Kenneth Walker, I do have ranked ahead, and Pierce I'm so high on. But we've seen Alexander Mattison be a productive player when Dalvin Cook hasn't played. He's averaged 19.5 carries for 79.5 rushing yards and 0.5 touchdowns per game, along with 3.8 catches and 36 receiving yards per game in six contests that Dalvin Cook has missed since 2020. Coaching staff, I know that like fantasy regrets have been littered with opportunity and contract-based arguments about running backs in this exact range. So he's in the piece I mentioned earlier where players I'm afraid I'm going to get wrong this year because of that very reason. But again, I like the ecosystem. I think Madison has showed us an ability to be a high-volume back in spurts before, so I think he can hang on to this job here.
Yeah, and Addison addition could be a huge upgrade versus Thielen. Yes. Thielen's the version of Thielen we saw last season at that stage of his career. So absolutely. And it's not like, Dalvin Cook was anything special last year. He ranked 35th out of 38 qualified backs in rush yards over expectation playing with a bum shoulder. So Addison himself could be an upgrade too.
Denver Broncos next team up here. Sean Payton hired to be basically the emperor of the Denver Broncos. That's what you need to know. We think he's going to bring an upgrade in coaching for sure. He definitely thinks he's going to bring an upgrade over coaching in Nathaniel Hackett, but this is still a really banged up offense. Jerry Judy's banged up. Tim Patrick's out for the year. KJ Hamler's gone. Marvin Mims and Cortland Sutton are going to be the two receiver sets. Greg Dulcich hasn't been playing much, and we still have quarterback questions. And obviously Javonte Williams, another guy that's dealing with injuries as well. So is there, I'll ask you this, with Sean Payton here, and again, we expect Sean Payton to upgrade the coaching and the overall offensive design of this team. Is there a single Denver Bronco that you are saying is like a proactive pick for you right now?
There wasn't, but Marvin Mims has become one. I've moved him up to my wide receiver 51. I grabbed him in the league work together. I mean, all the injuries to the pass catchers there in Denver. I was originally on Greg Dulcich, completely opposite there. Javonte Williams wearing the knee brace. I just really think it's going to be a committee all year with P. Ryan. And Russell Wilson is, yes, he lost weight, but man, I would not be shocked if Jared Stidham gets, a handful of starts this year. I mean, Payton has made him one of the highest paid backups and has no ties to Wilson. The offense should be dramatic. dramatically better. You look at the history, and Peyton has absolutely been one of the three or four best play callers throughout his career. Judy, hey, you were right. No, I know you can't take credit for the injury, but that's the other thing, man. The guy is always injured. And I said it too, even when I backed him. I said probably pulled his hamstring injury as I was trying to defend him. So sucks for him. And Sutton, yes, he'll bounce back, but I think Mims is the guy with the juice. He supposedly developed to be an immediate contributor as a rookie. Some interesting college stats, and obviously Peyton traded up to make him his first ever draft pick with the franchise. So I think Marvin Mims can make an immediate impact, and also, even if he starts off slowly, make a dramatic one in the second half once he's ready. I mean, Judy will obviously be there too, but Marvin Mims is my answer for the Broncos.
Marvin Mims is also my answer. It's the first time in 2 years I've been like, yes, this Denver receiver is underrated, actually, where everybody else has been very overrated. And Sean Payton, obviously, like you said, traded up for Marvin Mims, his first draft pick with the Denver Broncos. I also have him as my wide receiver 52, like a clear-cut take this guy before you get out of your draft. He's going to open the year as a starter, and it's very possible that he could close the year established as the best receiver on the roster. Cortland Sutton, I agree, he's going to be better than he was last year, and I think he's like a less so version of Gabe Davis, where the tide has corrected too far, especially early in the summer when there was this massive gap between Judy and Sutton. Judy's he's an okay player, but he's a number two receiver, a guy I think his ceiling's more capped than people realize. And yes, obviously injuries, but maybe he's not a consistent route runner like everybody thinks he is, because he's always banged up and playing through injuries. And maybe that's why his sample and RP is never as good as people think. Okay, next team here, Washington. Washington Commanders, Sam Howell is the team's QB1. Dalton, your favorite player, Sam Howell. My dad's favorite player, Sam Howell. Is Sam Howell here to rescue Terry McLaurin when he's healthy, Jahan Dotson, and Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, we don't love the McLaurin injury. I think that turf toe is going to linger enough for me to put Jahan Dotson ahead of him. I have Dotson all the way up to my wide receiver 26, just so in there.
Howell
runs, man. He's going to get like 40 rushing yards a game. It's like he's starting every game with a touchdown pass and fantasy points. And I just like the setup. So the offensive line is a legit concern, I will say that. But and then the rest of the roster, Cole Turner is a super sleeper at tight end. They like to use that position there. They're grooming him for the future, to be the future of the position there. And then Brian Robinson, I really, really like, but will have to capitulate that Gibson does look like he's going to get, 50% of the touches there, and maybe some of the more high-valued ones too. But I think Robinson emerges there. The guy clearly outplayed Robinson. Robinson outplayed Gibson last year after returning from a shot, and now his leg is much healthier, and he was a great pace over the second half. So I still like Robinson as an affordable running back in the middle to late rounds.
Atlanta Falcons, I'm very high on this offense. I think the obvious thing that most important for fantasy is Bijan Robinson's taken at the 8th overall pick, and if you want Bijan Robinson in fantasy this year, you have to take him at 8th overall pick in consensus ADP and the running back 3 this year. Dalton, is that justified?
Yeah, I'm good with him going that high. Totally expect a special season from him. It should be concentrated targets, Robinson, London, and Pitts. They play indoors. They play the second best schedule by the Saints and Falcons just have by a mile the easiest schedules, like historically easy, at least on paper entering the year. But it all comes down to Desmond Ridder. Is the third round rookie entering his second year ready to make a leap? So that's just key here for all fantasy managers and everyone involved.
Yeah, I had Bijan Robinson as my least favorite pick in the first round when we did that exercise with Dan Titus. Yeah. But the people pissed at me about it. Yo, it's hard to pick nits in anybody that's going in the first round. These are all very good players. I think just like, is he going to have a full workhorse role? Is Tyler Algier still going to mix in? I think those are outstanding questions, and it's just really I'd rather have Nick Chubb. I'd rather have some of the receivers that go after him than Bijan Robinson. So I never end up getting him, so he had to be named in that exercise. But overall, I think I love this offense, man, and I love Bijan in this offense. I think it's going to be one of my favorite attacks to watch this year if Desmond Ridder is good. Sticking in the NFC South, New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr is added at quarterback. Is he good enough to take Chris Olave to the moon, Dalton Del Don?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the highlights of him in inside the 10 last year, but Carr really, really struggled, but reportedly showed up in much better shape here, better mind frame than his new team. Chris Olave, obviously going to be, or if not already, a super duper star. I love Rashid Shaheed. He's dealing with an injury, but mixed reports from Michael Thomas's recovery. A couple things I'll take away about the Saints fantasy. Their schedule just really helps him as a fantasy defense you can grab in the final rounds. And also Kendre Miller, the rookie, looks very impressive. It may take some patience, maybe Jamal Williams early and then Alvin Kamara when he returns. But over the second half of the year, could be a lot of Kendre Miller in New Orleans' backfield. Again, such a favorable schedule.
Yep, I like that Kendre Miller mention there. All right, Cleveland Browns. We've talked plenty about the passing game, so want to hit on the fact that Nick Chubb is alone in the backfield for basically the first time in his career. Kareem Hunt is gone. You know, he shared carries with Carlos Hyde as a rookie. Nick Chubb right now, again, going 10th overall in consensus ADP, running back 4. Dalton, are you in on Nick Chubb as a late first round pick this year?
I've not been grabbing him there because I play a lot of full PPR, but certainly no arguments here. I mean, the guy's the best runner in the NFL right now with the ball in his hands. They have in the past not quite treated him as a full workhorse, even when Kareem Hunt has been out. And he had some splits with and without Deshaun Watson last year, but I'm not really going to push back much further than that. I mean, Chubb is an awesome running back who's looking at more targets than ever. Great floor with also the ceiling to be the number one fantasy back. I totally admit that. I've been kind of down on Amari Cooper, more so liking Elijah Moore. I think they finish closer to fantasy points than their ADP indicates. And then I will say Dorian Thompson-Robinson is absolutely a super sleeper at super flex leagues. I mean, Deshaun Watson's a big question mark in this, and DTR can run. I know it's absurd to say that now, but that's my final thought. DTR, don't forget about him.
Chicago Bears, don't forget the fact that they traded for DJ Moore in the number one overall pick package. I haven't been taking a lot of DJ Moore this year. And funny, I think we haven't talked very much about DJ Moore on the podcast this offseason. We've talked plenty about Justin Fields. I know you've been excited about it, but I don't know. Where do you stand on DJ Moore this year? Justin Fields is kind of easy because he's going to run. He's going to be a good fantasy quarterback, but it's been a very up and down preseason for Justin Fields from an accuracy and a passing standpoint. And it's been very up and down in the NFL from a passing and accuracy standpoint for Justin Fields. Preseason, not everything, but have you taken any of DJ Moore, who goes off the board from a consensus ADP standpoint pretty early, like 47th overall, wide receiver 20. He goes later on Yahoo actually than he does on like some of these other sites.
Zero DJ Moore. He's like my wide receiver 30-ish around there, 31, 32. Mm-hmm. And as you said, he goes top 20 off the board. He's a very good real-life receiver, will really help the Bears, will really help Justin Fields in fantasy. But Moore ranked 28th in expected fantasy points last year, and now he's joining an offense that had an NFL-O 15.4 catchable targets. Scott Barrett put it great. 15% target share with the Chargers was worth more than a 30% target share in Chicago with Justin Fields. They'll probably throw more. And we saw him have that, you know, take it to the house on that screen. But I just hate the setup here. I mean, the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. It's outdoors, and they have the most running quarterback ever. So how could this possibly be good for DJ Moore? Love Justin Fields. I may regret taking him over Lamar Jackson in a few leagues. I get that. But yeah, I'm all in on Justin Fields. Yeah, it's possible. Khalil Herbert, I have to mention him. Love. I know you won't get all the targets because of Fields, and he's not a very good receiver. And people like Roschon Johnson, but I think they're overrating the rookie. And I have Khalil Herbert actually as a borderline top 25 back on my rankings entering the year.
I've been definitely moving Khalil Herbert up. He's a guy that I think is a really good pick in this offense, but he's kind of the only guy I really love taking. I get Justin Fields' enthusiasm. I just never take quarterbacks kind of in that range. I'm either taking him early or I'm waiting really late. So that's kind of where I stand on the Bears. Roschon Johnson has definitely passed Dante Foreman to be the like guy that you want to take later in the draft in this backfield. Let's stick in the NFC North here before we go to rapid fire territory. Jordan Love. We mentioned Aaron Rodgers is out. Jordan Love is in from a starting quarterback perspective with the Green Bay pass catchers, and he's taking over an offense with a ton of young pass catchers, second-year receivers, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, rookies, Jaden Reed at wide receiver, Luke Musgrave at tight end. These are all second-year guys and rookies, man, along with Jordan Love, who is pretty much still an unknown commodity. Is there anyone here that you're taking as a clear-cut target?
Not really on Green Bay, but certainly it's been encouraging how their preseason has been. Jordan Love has looked fantastic. I think they're an absolute threat to win the wild card this year. Coached well. Christian Watson, can he stay healthy? I've been kind of fading him at his early ADP, but you know, in Yahoo, he's been far more affordable ADP in the 80s. So Christian Watson, I'm fine with. A lot of upside there. Just it comes down to how Jordan Love performs this year, replacing Aaron Rodgers, and so far, so good.
I like taking Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave late as potential. I mean, Musgrave's going to moonwalk into a huge role there as the starting tight end for a rookie. I get it, rookie tight ends, but the role is there for him. And Jaden Reed is just a player I really like. I'm with you that I'm sort of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out on Christian Watson. It's just with all these other guys, you know, Is he so much better than all these other players that he is going to have like a 25, 26% target share? Or is he going to top out at more of a 21% where he's going to have these massive weeks, but he's not going to be, I mean, he goes up the board wide receiver 21 in consensus ADP. That is pretty aggressive.
That's high. Yeah. And for what it's worth, the preseason target rate's been like 18.9, 18-ish, I think, for whatever it's worth. But yeah, he's an interesting one. Wide range of outcomes there. Did he make my guy Trey Lance? That's an interesting one to look back on. Sorry, had to, one more Trey Lance. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
All right, rapid fire here with these last group of teams.
Supposedly has 0,000 yard receiving in his career, by the way, Christian Watson in high school, college, ever. He's never reached 3,000. And he dealt with a ton of injuries last year, a lot of nagging stuff. So there is some downside there. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, absolutely. You're right. You're right. There is downside. And so again, rapid fire here with these next few teams. First three ones aren't quite the same as the other group. The first three here, teams that started new eras with rookie quarterbacks and new coaches. Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young, taken first overall to join Frank Reich. Houston, CJ Stroud, joins D'Amico Ryans, fan favorite D'Amico Ryans, former Texan with the Houston Texans at second overall. And fourth overall, Anthony Richardson was taken to be the new quarterback under Shane Steichen as the head coach, replacing Frank Reich. So I want to all three of these teams, is there, who are proactive targets for you on these three teams?
I'm proactively avoiding my guy, your guy, Miles Sanders. No, I'm sure he'll be fine. But I just question whether he'll be able to execute the targets coming his way. Jonathan Mingo is my target on Carolina. The injuries
love
there, DJ Chark. I get the Thielen buzz here at the end. He's looked pretty good. He's going to probably open the year with double-digit targets the first couple weeks, but love Jonathan Mingo's setup there. Steve Smith's favorite receiver in the draft, and a lot to like there in his profile in that first year. Why is he not going to lead the team in targets immediately with a banged-up Chark already and no Thielen at his age? Houston, Nico Collins, I've just talked about ad nauseum, really in on him. Same. He should be a top 40 fantasy wideout on all draft boards, and he was getting drafted embarrassingly later than that. CJ Stroud, wide range of
Still wide receiver 52, consensus ADP for Nico Collins.
Crazy. Stroud, wide range of outcomes, man. He had this crazy, crazy accuracy numbers in college, but he was throwing to future NFL stars and an alarmingly low S2 score, which is also maybe meaningless. The Colts, man. I have Anthony Richardson. AR is my QB number fantasy 9 entering the year. I know there'll be growing pains, but we have not seen an athlete play the position like this. Did you see the pace they ran this preseason? I mean, that is highly exciting. And Shane Steichen has a history of putting up rookie quarterbacks who run in position to succeed with or without Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Michael Pittman's like a star in real life. I think he's overrated in fantasy this year, unfortunately, but you love him as real life player. So playing indoors, the pieces are there for Anthony Richardson to be a monster fantasy contributor right away.
And I mean, overrated in fantasy, the guy goes off the board as wide receiver 36, Michael Pittman. Okay. I mean, and I think the pace that they play with, the first read targets that Michael Pittman's going to get that he was getting in the preseason, there's definitely going to be growing pains with Anthony Richardson. I get it. And I'm all in on Anthony Richardson from a passing or from a fantasy quarterback perspective because of the rushing. But I think those things can offset some of the growing pains from a passing perspective and the loss of overall offense. Like, oh, the Colts are going to lose passing volume. Oh, yeah, we're all going to really miss Michael Pittman getting 7-yard passes from Matt Ryan. I think the ADOT boost combined with all those other things are actually like making Michael Pittman a value this year in fantasy.
I didn't realize 36. That's totally fine. I simply see him going higher. I'm cool with that. Agreed. And all those RPO is going to be the first read. No, yes. I mean, I hear you. Did you see the Bryce Young press conference where the guy wanted to introduce him and he was measuring his height on the mic? I mean, that's a tough scene.
Extremely tough scene. I mean, the guy's like, I'm 5'9". Is this enough for him? I mean, dude, this guy, give me a break. Who is this guy? This Giants, like, mic manager. Give me a break. What are we doing here? This guy's a professional athlete. I mean, we've all made the jokes. We've all made the Bryce Young jokes.
I don't think
jokes,
Bryce Young was happy. Yeah, he did not look too pleased.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's funny though. Yeah. All right, sorry. I'm only contributing to it now by bringing it up. But who's next?
All right, these next group of teams are the lookout below teams, to use the Scott Pianowski term. These are potential disaster teams. Again, but could they provide diamond in the rough fantasy players here? We're going to go again rapid fire on these, starting with the Arizona Cardinals, who are definitely a lookout below team. New coaching staff, but mostly the old offensive cast minus DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray starting the year on the PUP. They released Colt McCoy, who started games for them. People acting like that's a big deal. I mean, give me a break. Colt McCoy, It would be a disaster if Colt McCoy, who's hosting a YouTube show with Josh Norris, is starting games in the NFL. That would be a disaster. So anything here in Arizona that you're like, okay, from a fantasy perspective, I'm interested in?
Marquise Brown is going to be a top 15 fantasy wide receiver on a per game basis.
I love this.
I will say on a per game basis. Now, he's not going to withstand the whole year with that workload. But yeah, I think the targets are just going to be all Hollywood Brown there. And then Rondale Moore was mistakenly being drafted way too high when Michael Wilson is going to be the starter in wide receiver two sets there. James Conner also breaks down. Keontae Ingram, super deep sleeper. I just worry this team's all in for Caleb Williams. Not sure they rush back. I know that some people hate that take. And Kyler Murray, when he wants to play, he will play. But dude got 6.7 YPA last year, recovering from knee surgery, won't have DeAndre Hopkins. I think this team is definitely, they're heavily favored to pick first in the draft next year. And I think Caleb Williams, who, you know, Caleb Williams, he had the same breakout age as Brock Purdy. So good future for Caleb Williams there. But no, a generational prospect. I know people like Drake May too. And obviously there's a decent receiver there, Marvin Harrison Jr. But man, I think Caleb Williams is unfortunately going to be starting in my favorite team's division for the next decade. And it's going to be in the desert.
And we'll see if he wants to do it. You know, he's already talking.
That's true.
Maybe
he's
making won't come out this year.
That's a great point, too. It is a counter. Yeah.
All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady retired. So they signed Baker Mayfield. Dude, there has been nobody on this team that I've been like, even Chris Godwin, who I love, Mike Evans, who I've been a huge fan of. I can't bring myself to take these guys. And like Rashad White, the running back, I don't want to take him either. Is there anyone on this team with Baker Mayfield, a quarterback, that you're into?
Yeah, I tried to talk you into Mike Evans earlier, which is funny. You know, I bet against him against you last year, but third in air yards per game last season, but the targets weren't really overwhelming. I know Brady threw a million passes, but the target rate to Evans was not anything special. He just dumped it off and spread it around. Evans is what no receiver's ever gone seven straight seasons with 1,000 yards, and he's done it nine to open his career and scored like 27 touchdowns the previous 2 years too. So I don't love it usually this stage of his career, and I'm going to back off now if he's still around six pick now that he's dealing with a groin injury. But you look deeper into Chris Godwin numbers, he benefited from these design screens in which his new offensive coordinator does none of those. So I get it that he's going to be healthier this year, but going from Brady to Baker Mayfield, I think affects Godwin more than it does a healthy Evans. And Rashad White, I just have my questions. I mean, he was arguably the worst runner in the league last year. I get that he's going to be looking at a lot of touches, but I could see Sean Tucker becoming a thing there in the Bucs backfield. But this is a team that projects to also be bottom three in the league.
Yeah, Rashad White is like the what we talked about earlier, the how many bad fantasy arguments there's been over the years of who else is there and volume based stuff. I mean, Rashad White, like you said, 0.9 forced missed tackles per attempt last year, ranked 41st out of 42nd running backs to register 100 carries. So yeah, nobody on this offense is interesting to me.
And the Bucs scored the second fewest points in the conference last year, and now go from the GOAT to Baker Mayfield. So I mean, the coaching's a real problem. I mean, the only time they scored last year is when they went huddle up, and then Brady had to score. I mean, this could be a real, real awful offense. And they just lost Jensen.
Raider.
They lost Jensen too, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is basically what started the disaster last year. That was when everything started going wrong from the moment he got hurt in training camp.
Yep.
Las Vegas Raiders. They really wanted to get rid of Derek Carr, and they did. So instead, they signed your guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm still okay taking the two. Now that Josh Jacobs is back in camp, I'm actually okay with Jimmy Garoppolo being the starting quarterback here and taking Josh Jacobs in the second round and Davante Adams in the same range, man. I mean, I think Adams can perfectly thrive with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing him dig routes and slant routes and curl routes. Those like over the middle in breaking routes. That's perfectly fine. So it's not exciting, but I am still in on these two guys. And you know, I like Jacoby Myers as a player, but he's like kind of a boring late round pick.
I've totally come around on Davante Adams. I was out on him before. Now he's like falling to the middle of the second round. I mean, he put up monster stats in his game with Jarrett Stidham against the best defense in football last year. So while I am convinced Garoppolo, unfortunately, will suffer an injury and probably will struggle away from Shanahan, Aiden O'Connell is really interesting. Looks like a capable backup there. So still playing indoors. He's a target commander. So I'm in on Davante Adams as a second rounder.
Los Angeles Rams. Total team in transition here. That's been the offseason headline that you might have missed, especially on defense. I mean, Matthew Stafford, the headline has been making the rounds. He doesn't even know how to relate or to his new teammates or anything because they're so young. Okay, I mean, how do you do, fellow kids? Matthew Stafford can take some notes from Steve Buscemi in 30 Rock there. what do we make of this team, man? I mean, I don't know.
Mike Clay did grade their defense as the worst defense in football. They sold out to win the Super Bowl a couple years ago and are paying for it now. I think I like Tyler Higbee as a top 12 fantasy tight end, going to soak up the targets. Cooper Kupp, if he stays healthy, I will predict will exceed 200 targets this year and will finish as the number one PPR receiver. It is a stretch at his age, but I think it's set up for that with a healthy Stafford and no one else to throw it to. I think Kupp is looking at a special season if he can stay healthy, which I want to reiterate is a long shot. But if he can, I think it's just going to be to the moon there. And Kyren Williams is going to form a full-blown committee, frustrating all those who went with Cam Akers on their fantasy teams.
Yeah, Akers has not been a guy I've been drafting. Van Jefferson, I think, is a sleeper if Matthew Stafford can stay healthy. A good receiver, I think, a little bit underrated player. And Puka Nacua is like a deep, deep sleeper if Matthew Stafford can stay healthy. New England Patriots. Bill Belichick waved the white flag on his offensive coordinator mess of 2022, firing Matt Patricia and bringing in Bill O'Brien. But are we, Dalton, interested in anybody on this offense? I know most people, if they haven't listened to fantasy stuff all offseason, like, whoa, Zeke Elliott's here. Ramondre Stevenson, he's being taken where? So is there anybody, even Ramondre included, that you're like, all right, I'm in on in this offense?
Ramondre is great, but I've typically been drafting Etienne or Hall or just Gibbs or different spots, some or receiver instead of him. I do think there's some concern he loses targets and maybe goal line work, but he's awesome and the offense will be better. Devontae Parker is, if you really want to get deep, I think he emerges as the best fantasy receiver in New England, but they're going to rotate a lot there. I've thankfully gotten off the Tyquan Thornton bandwagon, and Hunter Henry, if you want to wait on the tight end position. But this is a team that is historical with as far as favorable for New Orleans. It's even more extreme for New England if you look at like the Vegas odds and as far as what their schedule is set up for this year. It is it's one of the toughest in the past decade or so.
Totally agree. I think Juju is going to catch 80 balls this year if he stays healthy, which is a big if. So if that excites you at like a wide receiver sub, plus wide receiver 40 ADP, go for it. Okay.
They presented an interesting defensive. I just want to say this defense is absolutely loaded. New England on roster looks sick. It's depth and everything. But for fantasy wise, it's just tough with this. Do you play the matchups in your league and play the schedule? Because you're not really going to like the matchups when you look at it in a given week. But New England's defense is very, very good. They're just stuck in a division in which they're happen to be the worst team probably.
Yep. But their defense is definitely, if they're going to be good this year as a team, their defense is going to be the reason for it. Last team here. All 32, baby. Tennessee Titans. They added DeAndre Hopkins to the mix and proved they don't think they belong in this lookout below group. And frankly, I actually don't think they do either, even though their offensive line is a massive, massive, massive question mark. So with DeAndre Hopkins in the mix here, Derrick Henry making another run here, maybe Tajay Spears mix in, Treylon Burks injured this offseason, Chig Okonkwo, one of the nicest tight end breakout bets in the league, Dalton. Where do we stand on the Tennessee Titans offense?
It looks like they are, attempting to win this year. Even Malik Willis is maybe beating out Levis for the backup QB job. And it sounds like good news. Treylon Burks is already back at practice. I thought that injury was going to, tricky one with the knee was going to keep him out at the start of the season, but encouraging there. Derrick Henry is the big dog. It's tough. He's tough to bet against, but the 2000 career carries, the age, has me Tajay Spears. I mean, who needs an ACL? The truthfully about that is it's like the Jay Ajayi syndrome. So it may affect his longevity, but for a couple years here, I think Spears can be highly effective. He certainly looks it in the preseason. And by the way, I believe they faced the Texans twice during the fantasy playoffs. So Tajay Spears has become one of my favorite RB late round flyers.
I like that call. I mean, if you're betting against Derrick Henry, even if you think Derrick Henry's gonna be good, it's nice to have a little running back insurance type. Even if you don't have Derrick Henry on your team, you can take Tajay Spears. All right, Dalton. Now people can draft. Okay, if you drafted before this and you weren't paying attention this offseason, you're in a tough spot. But now we have given them everything that they need to know about every single team heading into their fantasy draft. This podcast was truly cram week worthy.
Good times, Harmon. Good talking football with you, man.
Of course, I'm ready for the real thing to start any moment now. But for now, it's going to do it for us today. People, as I mentioned, fantasy, it's coming up. There's only a few days left until the start of fantasy season. So make sure you get your league started or join a public league at yahoofantasyfootball.com. Also, there has never been a better or more overwhelming time to be a sports fan. Kendall Baker has you covered with the Yahoo Sports AM, our new daily newsletter that we promise will quiet the noise and deliver everything you need as a sports fan to start your day in a simple, digestible format. That's already gotten started, so sign up at yahoosports.com/signup. I'll be back with you on Thursday with Chris Harris. The legend himself joins the pod to recap and ridicule the final Yahoo staff mock draft of the season and debate what consensus rankings got wrong this year. Till then, we are out.